Hello again and welcome to the program. We continue in our series in the book of Colossians. We've entitled it The Last Mile of the Way. Paul said in Acts 20 that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord. Each one of us have received a ministry of the Lord if we're Christians. We should be doing something for Him. If all we got saved for was to go to heaven, then we could have gone 5 seconds after we were saved. But we're left here to do something, and we need to make it our desire to finish our course in this age in which we are living, because we're definitely living in trying times. When we study the book of Colossians, we've seen the Laodicean connection here. Paul said, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea." Now, the Laodicean church was very close to the church at Colossians, the church of Colossae, and Paul was concerned about the influence of that Laodicean church on the church at Colossae. Before we look at it, let's sing along with this message and song. Here's some good news in this age in which we're living. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted amid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands.
The Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. Every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Well, again, we have this verse in Colossians 2:1. Paul said, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea." Now, he had an inner conflict because he cared about what happened to Christians. Now, look at this little word here, "for." Sometimes we miss the little words and we miss the real context of what's going on. Why did he put the word "for" in here? He could have said, "I would you knew what great conflict I have for you." He didn't. He said, "For I would that ye knew." The reason for that is it goes back to Colossians 1:28. And now these chapter verses and headings are put in. Maybe this could have been waited. Maybe they should have waited a verse or two before they changed chapters here. In any event, it goes back. He said, "For I would that ye knew." And it refers back to the fact that he had said, "We preach warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ." Now, there's a twofold concern here that Paul has. He has a concern of the influence of the world and the influence of that Laodicean church. Now, the same is true today. We need to be very careful as we go this last mile of the way of the influence that we will have of the world. There's so many things out there that even 15 years ago, we didn't have all the distractions for Christians that we have today in the world. But a greater danger for the sincere Christian is the Laodicean fundamentalism that we're facing today and the influence that it can have. An influence, the dictionary says, is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. Now, the someone that Paul was concerned about was individual Christians. The something that he was concerned about was the local church there at Colossae. When he wrote to the Galatians, he said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" They did run well, but if you study that portion of Scripture, they come up with another gospel, like we have today. The fundamental independent Baptists bury their head in the sand. Today, we don't stand up, and I say we, I consider myself one of them, even if they don't like me. We did run well. Who did hinder us that we should not obey the truth? When Paul was writing, he was writing unto the churches of Galatia, chapter 1 and verse number 2, and to those churches who were going in the wrong direction even then. He said, "Who did hinder you?" Who did hinder you? Now, for the church at Colossae, it's not going to be the world so much as it was that church next door that was the Laodicean church, and we'll look later and see what kind of mess they were in. So, we're talking about an influence here. David said in Psalm 119, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The Bible says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." And so, who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to our favorite fundamentalists? That's foolish. You know, let's learn what we can. But when they listened to Paul said, "Hey, those Bereans, they checked everything I said. They checked the Word of God to see if these things be so. You shouldn't listen to anything I say until you go back to the Bible and check it and see if it be so." That's what it means to be a fundamental Christian today. That word fundamental has kind of lost its biblical meaning. So we're going to have an influence. 1 Kings 19:7 said to Elijah, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." If it was too great for Elijah, who was having that tremendous victory on the mountain, now he's hiding in a cave. What's his problem? He needs to arise and eat because the journey was too great for him, and it's too great for you and I. Arise, get out of bed. Get up early. Set the clock back an hour or two. Get into the Word of God. Get some strength, because the journey is too great for thee. Now, concerning those Laodiceans, we read in Revelation 3:15, Jesus said, "I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." Notice, he even puts cold first. I would rather you be ice cold than room temperature. He said, your room temperature. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Room temperature. I'll take the temperature of the fundamental independent Baptist room and I'll go with that. That's Laodicean. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." You're neither cold nor hot. You're lukewarm, you're room temperature, and you don't know what's going on. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:11, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." As we walk the last mile of the way, these things are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the age, is what it actually says in the Greek. We're at the end of this local church age. Now, what is it to have an influence? The thing is, whether we like to admit it or not, we become like those we spend time with. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." What do you have to do to be a fool? Well, I'll tell you, if you're going to stick your head in the sand, you're going to be spiritually foolish if you reject the words of Jesus, who said, "Except you repent, thou shalt perish. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Well, you're going to reject that and take on the new stand that said, "Well, you can't get a crowd if you're going to preach repentance." And you know we want a crowd. You know what that is? That is foolish. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Galatians 5, we saw, he said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." You didn't get this from God. And then he went on to say, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Watch out there at Colossae. There's a lot of leaven over there at Laodicea. "Be not deceived," he said. "Evil communications corrupt good manners." Vine's Expository Dictionary of the Bible says that word communication means companionship. "Be not deceived. Evil companionship corrupt good manners." What do you got to do to be evil? Well, rejecting Jesus and saying, "I don't care what you said about repentance, I'm not preaching it." That's evil. So what we need to do is we need to face the facts. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts or desires shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." That's where we are today. But a problem is the apathetic remnant. See, we've said before, in the world, one word will describe it, anarchy. As far as Christianity is concerned, one word will describe that, apostasy. But then we have a remnant. And our problem today with the remnant is apathy, a lack of concern. They changed the plan of salvation, but I don't care. I'm not going to talk about that. I got to keep the bills paid here in the church. That's apostasy. And that's where we are. Somewhere we need to have a revival. We need to see God, honest, Holy Spirit sent, God sent revival, if we're going to make it as our local churches in this age in which we're living. The problem is apathy. We're going to be looking at it when we look at our next message. Is it any wonder that Jesus said, and that's not the right scripture there, but he said, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Listen to this again. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted. We should stand on the Word of God.
The Bible stands like a rock undaunted with the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. Test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.